Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
As I thought about this whole idea of making space, there's some more cultural relevant words that kind of describe this process, like doing a cleanse, right? It's very popular, like people, I'm going to do a cleanse. Some people call it detoxing, right? I'm going to detox. So I called my message today a spirit detox. So over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about three very specific kinds of ways to detox or to cleanse, to make space in the areas of our lives. How many of you know we're a three-part being? Maybe you've never thought about that before, but we are a three-part being. What's interesting about that is that God himself, the Godhead, is a three-part being. He's God the Father, he's God the Holy Spirit, and he's God the Son, right? Scripture says we are made in the likeness of him. So it's really amazing, but not that surprising that we also are a three-part being. We are a spirit, right? We have a soul, and we live in a body, right? Our spirit, that's the real you. That's the you that's going to live forever, one day in heaven with the Heavenly Father. And if you're not there, there's only one other place you're going to be. It's going to be a little hotter down there. You don't want to be there, right? That's hell, in case you're wondering. Just wanted to clear that up, right? But that's the real you, the spirit. That's the you that is born again. Scripture says that when we receive Christ, you are born again. That is your spirit, man. That's what communicates with our Heavenly Father, right? That's our spirit. Our soul is what houses like your emotions, your thinking, right? Your feelings, that whole side of you, that's your soul, right? And then, of course, our physical body, that's where we live. That's this body that we have right here. That's the most obvious. But what happens in life so easily is that just toxins just slowly creep in, sometimes unannounced and unaware. They just gradually creep in. Nobody like wakes up in the morning and be like, hey, I'm just going to drink all this poison and ruin my life today, right? Nobody does that. But what happens is just that slowly things begin to creep in and force their way in and push their way in. And sometimes we wake up and we're like, how did all this stuff get in here? And so we've got to begin this process of removing things that pollute us on the inside so that we can make space for what God wants to do in us. We've got to remove those things. We've got to begin to detox in our lives. The word detox literally means the removal of a substance, a toxic substance. So we're going to begin to detox. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about today a spiritual detox, right? A detox in our spirit. Next week, we're going to talk about detoxing in our soul, making space in our soul. And then the third week, we're going to talk about detoxing in our physical body. It's going to be good. You're not going to want to miss it. Are y'all out there today? All right, come on. You got to holler back at your boy a little bit up here. So we're going to kind of dig in and make space for God to move in these areas of our life as we head into the season. The sad thing for most people is that this detox cleanse process is limited to just the physical aspect. But there are so many other things that get into our spirits that sometimes we don't even realize, things that get into our soul that we often don't realize that we need to work on getting out. And so as we begin this, I want to give us this passage of scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you've got your Bible today, you can turn there. If you've got the YouVersion app, you can pull there. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to a group of believers. He's not writing to people who are far from God. He's writing to people in the church. So he's writing to us. So that's who he's writing to, people that know the Lord, have been forgiven of their sins. And this is what he's saying. He says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. Now, listen, y'all, this is not just a dating scripture, okay? This is not just a, you know, that's not what it is. He's writing to believers about this. And this word yoked is a strange word. You try to say that five times fast, it'll be hard. Yoked. It's a messy word, but it's one of those Bible words that sometimes just get thrown around, like don't be yoked together with unbelievers. What does that mean? This term yoked came from the farming world over there. And what they would do is they would have, two animals, usually one. And when you put two big animals next to each other, they don't always want to go the same direction. You know, and so what they did to help them to plow their fields, to pull their carts and all kinds of stuff, they built these things out of woods that they called a yoke, and that they would put them over the neck and the shoulders of these two animals to force them to go the same direction. So the person behind them had a rope tied to this yoke and could pull it one way and force both of these enormous animals that were way bigger, way stronger than him to go a certain direction in step together. So Paul is saying, hey, don't be tied to something that's forcing you to go one direction or the other. Don't be yoked with unbelievers. Don't be strapped to something like this. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Now, that's a pretty obvious thing, like nothing. They have nothing in common, right? This word fellowship right here, what does fellowship mean? It's this word, the Greek word is koinonia. And it literally means to have a closeness or common relation with. So what relationship, what common closeness is there with light and darkness? It's obvious. There's no relation there. Paul is just saying, hey, be careful how close you get to the world. So what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Belial is another name for a demon or our spiritual enemy, the devil. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. In other words, he's saying, hey, y'all, the building that we gather in, that's not the temple of God. We are the temple of God. The Spirit of God is inside of us. The same Spirit of Christ that raised Christ from the dead is working inside of each and every one of us. God has given us His Holy Spirit to be in us, to be working in us. We are His temple. So we have to evaluate how close we're letting all these other things come in and try to influence us and push us around. Paul goes on and he then quotes promises from the Old Testament when God spoke to his people. And he says, as God has said, I will live with them and I will walk among them. Man, that is good to know right there. God wants to live with us, to walk with us. And I will be their God and they will be my people. He wants us to be his peeps. We are his peeps, y'all. Come on. Tell your neighbor, say, you're his peeps. And here's how that will happen. If we're to live this way and God is to live with us, here's how it will happen. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. That's what holy is, to be separate, says the Lord. In other words, God is saying, I have more of me I want to give you, but I can't because there's no space for me in there. There's too much pollutants in there. I can't give you. You're yoked to too many other things. See, there has to be a process where we analyze this closeness we have with the world, this amount of things we allow in us. See, he's not talking about going to heaven, right? See, we know that when we receive Christ, we receive forgiveness of our sins. Like we're in relationship with him. We're going to heaven. He's saying here's like, God wants to move in us and do great things, but the amount of God's power working in us and flowing through us is really dependent upon us and how much we allow other things to pollute us and how much we yoke ourselves to. It's really dependent on, see, God has more of himself. He has more than we can think, more than we can imagine, more than we can desire, and he wants to freely give it to us. But if we don't make the space, then it's kind of like we're saying, God, that's okay. You keep all that, right? We've got to make space for him. So he goes on, he says, touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And I love this last part. Paul says, he wraps it all together and he says, therefore, since we have these promises, saying this is a promise from our Heavenly Father, let us purify ourselves. Now, he's not talking about we can purify ourselves from our sin because there's nothing we can do to remove sin from our lives, right? That's what happens when we receive Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood to remove our sins from us. He's talking about like purifying ourselves, like removing things, cleansing our life, unyoking ourselves from things of this world, right? Let's purify ourselves from what? From everything that contaminates the body and the spirit, perfecting holiness in us out of reverence for God. Man, so crucial that we have this process, this ability to evaluate our closeness with other things and our closeness with the Lord. So that's really the question for us today is, are we ready to make some space for God to move in our lives? King David, we just spent a few weeks talking about King David. He struggled with this kind of closeness with the world and closeness with God. And he wrote about it actually in Psalms 13. I love it. He says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts day after day and have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? So if you've come in here feeling that way today, you feel defeated, Like everywhere you turn, like, man, things just aren't going your way. Things aren't working right. Maybe you've been in that wrestling match internally. Like you're in good company. You are ready for a spirit detox. The Apostle Paul, he went through this process too. He wrote about it in Romans chapter 7. He's writing about this process, his own struggle with this. And he says it this way. He says, man, I know the right thing to do and I want to do it, but I keep doing what I don't want to do. Anybody felt like that before? You've been there before? Like, God, I know you said to do this. I want to be there, but I keep doing this other thing. Paul is struggling with this in Romans 7. He's writing about it. And at the end of the chapter, he's like, he's really upset at himself. He's disgusted with himself. He's discouraged. He's down about it. He's frustrated. He says, who will rescue me from this body of death? He's just like, man. And then in Romans chapter 8, it comes after 7. 7 comes after 8. Some of us, that's a revelation. Some of you will get that on the ride home, and I'm glad. In Romans chapter 8, see, I told you the preacher joke, so you gotta, come on now. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, Paul kind of begins to give us a light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, kind of a prescription of like, how am I gonna get past that? In verse 5, he says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. So he's saying here is like, what we focus on, what our minds are set on, that's what we're gonna gravitate to. That's where we're going to be drawn. He goes on. He says it again. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So where our part in this, where we have our mindset, that's where we're going to be drawn. So if my mind is set on the things of this world, then no duh, I'm going to be drawn to the things of this world. But if I can change some things, make some space so that my mind can be set on what God thinks, on God's word and things like that, then yes, I'm going to be drawn more to what the Spirit of God wants to do. We've got to make some space in our lives. He goes on in verse 12. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, meaning we have a part to play. It's up to us. And that is not to live according to the flesh or to live according to its desires. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. A spiritual death. You will be separated from our Heavenly Father. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will have life. You will have that everlasting life with our Father. We've got to just begin this process of going through our lives and changing the closeness we have with some things. Like, I can't be close to that. I'm going to be close to my Heavenly Father. It's this process of making space. The best part is, don't take my word for it. Just try it for yourself. Try it. The promise of the Father is that if we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. Man, it's so good. It's so good. When we draw near to Him, He's like, yes, I miss you. Where are you? He just loves us so much. He draws near to us. Man, He's a good Father. When we do the fast in January, I typically will do a Daniel fast. And that's, fruits and vegetables and grains. That's what I'm allowed to eat. It's awesome. No meat, no dairy, no sugar. And so for the first, 4 or 5 days, if you've ever done a cleanse or a fast or anything like that, the first several days are horrible. They're terrible. Like headaches all the time, weird pains in places. Like how does food affect my toe? I don't know, but it's just the worst 4 days of my life. I feel like I'm going to die. And it's just because my body is addicted to things like sugar and caffeine mixed with some sugar. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it's just rough for those first few days. But after those first 3, 4, 5 days, man, then you wake up one morning and you're like, I feel good. I'm feeling good. Like I'm ready to go alligator hunting with my bare hands, baby. Let's do this thing. Like I feel good. I'm thinking clear, except for the alligator part. I'm sleeping good. Go to lay down, sleep and wake up. I'm like, all right, let's take a math test this morning. Like you just start to feel good. And I think sometimes some of us have just forgotten how good we can feel spiritually. Because it's just so long we've been polluted with things that if we'll just go through some difficult moments of letting God weed some things out and deal with some pain, feeling uncomfortable for a few days, that we'll begin to feel so good spiritually that we haven't felt in so long, man, the devil will be running scared from you. So we're gonna over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about a specific thing on Sunday. So today we're going to talk about three things that we're going to starve from our lives, that we're going to detox from, and three other things that we're going to feed to put into our lives. And then for the next 6 days, I'm going to work on those things. And my desire would be that each and every one of us would do the same, that for 6 days, you'll work on starving those things from your life and feeding these other things in life. We're going to spirit detox this week for the next 6 days, Monday through Saturday, and see what God will just give me 6 days. We can all do 6 days. All right. So we're going to talk through a few of these things this morning, because we know whatever we feed will grow and whatever we starve will die. I need to give you a disclaimer. Please feed your kids every day. And your pets and your spouse. Please feed your kids, your pets, and your spouse every day. Because I don't want somebody being like, well, pastor said. No, no, no. We need to. So if you've got some notes on the back of your worship guide, you can take notes. If you've got something on your phone, get out something, take some notes this morning. I want you to write a couple of these things down. This next 6 days, we're going to starve some things. Things like doubt. Doubt. Now, as we talk about these things, maybe not all of these things are in your life. Maybe one of them. Maybe there's something else, and I believe God will speak to us. But these are some fairly common things that all of us deal with, like doubt. I think some of us don't even realize how much doubt has creeped into our spirits, right? If we're just to define doubt in its basic terms, is really would be believing what the world says instead of believing what God says. Doubt. We've let doubt pollute our spirits. It's like when you watch the news. Anybody watch the news? Yeah. It's so hard to watch the news because everything is bad. Yes. There's nothing good. It's like, oh my goodness. When is this going to end? Like, everything is bad. The world is losing its mind. What's wrong with our society? And then you get on Facebook and you're like, why do I follow these people? They are all terrible people. Right? Anybody else? Maybe I just, my feed is maybe bad. But it's like everybody's posting stuff. And, you know, I'm like, man, there's just so much doubt in the world. Man, it's crazy. And you can be overwhelmed by those things like that. But let me just tell you, there's more good happening in the world than there is bad. I know it seems dark out there sometimes. And we know that in the last days, dark will be darker, but the light will be brighter. And just when the enemy rushes in, that like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against us. So we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to be afraid of what's going on out there. We don't have to let other people's divisiveness come in and divide us. Man, we can be united. And man, we don't have to allow those things to separate us. Man, I was reminded this week of so many good things that is happening. The Lord is just reminding me of so many great things. And the past few weeks, I was over in China and just seeing what God is doing in a place where you're not allowed to preach the gospel, just to see the move of God that's happening and people over there. Man, people every day are being saved in China, coming to the Lord. Man, people, I mean, it's so good to see. When I was there, I got to pray with one of the nurses that had helped with my mom while she was over there. And she came up to me and she said, she's a national Chinese and it's illegal to, you know, to minister to them. But she came to me and she said, you know, normally when we deal with people in your situation, they're angry and they're yelling. But she's like, when we talk to you, something was different. And so she came to my mom's memorial there that night at the church. She came to the church because she's like, I had to come find out what it was that was different. So I got to pray with her and her husband right there. I'm telling you, God is moving. I'm telling you, like just like with the 12 and 12 rescue homes that we're a part of, every day boys and girls are being taken out of trafficking and brought into this place. They're being loved on. They're being fed. They're being taught about Jesus and how much he loves them. They're being adopted into families that will care for them and raise them. Man, there are good things happening right here in our community. I'm so encouraged by testimonies. So many of you sharing stories with me about restoration that's happening in your family. One that I just heard this week about somebody that had been had a really difficult relationship with their father and how God had been working in their life. Man, so many great things are happening. We can't let doubt just overwhelm us. I'm not saying we need to pretend like nothing's wrong and be in denial about it. There are things And that's why when we see them, we're called to bring solutions to them, not to base our beliefs and our decisions and our thoughts on those things. We have the answer, and his name is Jesus, and we're called to just take it into those places. So in other words, we just need to begin to learn to trust what God says, not trust what the world says, right? We're going to trust what God says. We're going to starve doubt. Here's the second one. We're going to starve negativity. Negativity. Come on, there's a lot of negativity out there. Oh, I just can't believe this. Can you believe the way they drive these days on the 408? Like, everybody's cutting me off. It's just negativity. Oh, the price of gas is just raising. Like, listen. We just need to starve some negativity in our lives, right? Some of us have stinking thinking. We just need to get that out of there. We need to starve that thing. We need to begin to think what God thinks. Starve some negativity. I learned this verse from Isaiah 26 in the New King James when I was a little kid. So I'm going to go old school on you. Drop the New King James on you today. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." So if you need some peace, man, you feel like everything's chaos and out of control. Well, this is for you. You need to begin to keep your mind on him. You need to begin to trust him so that your mind will stay on him. And then he will keep you in perfect peace. We have a part to play in that. We have a part to play. And we need to be careful in our negativity. That negativity, it's not just negativity in others, y'all, because it's easy to see, like when people are talking, you can see what's coming out of their hearts, right? Because it's in their words, all the negative. But what about the negative that comes out of us? We have to be careful about what we're letting out. Ephesians 4 says, don't let any foul communication come out of your life. You can take that as, well, the Bible says don't cuss. Well, it's talking about that. But what about when somebody cuts me off on the 408 and I'm, you know, yelling at them, they can't hear me. And, you know, or what about, you know, all the other things that we say to people, you know, we got to be careful about what's coming out of us, that the communication that's coming out of us, like Scripture says, is for building up and is for uplifting other people. It's for speaking hope and being full of grace. We've got to begin to be careful how close we are with the influences of negativity in our lives. Here's the third one. It's the most obvious is sin. We're going to starve sin. You're like, oh, thank you, Pastor, for telling me to to starve sin in my life. It's obvious, I know, but hear me out. Right? Sin is anything that pollutes our spirit, right? It's things that pollute our spirit. Paul's writing about this. He mentions it to the church, meaning that it can invade our lives. So if we were to look at sin, like I think a great way to look at sin for in our lives is missing the mark. So God says, I want you to hit this mark over here. And when we sin, we're missing the mark. We're not hitting the target. We're getting off course. My daughter she's a competitive archer. And so, I do some archery. I did archery growing up. And so I brought my bow today just as an illustration, because when you're doing archery, you know, in the Olympics, they're shooting 70 meters to the target, which when you look at the target at that distance, you know, the yellow where you can get a 9 is about the size of a CD to start with. You know, and when you look at it at 70 meters, that it's about the size of a penny. She's shooting about 20 right now, 20 yards. And so the size that she's aiming at is about the size of a quarter. And when you're shooting at 20 yards, your margin for error is about a centimeter. When you're shooting at 70 meters, your margin for error is like fractional, and you will completely miss the target. Like less than like millimeters, and you of being off one way or the other, and how you all these mechanical things that you do when you draw the bow, you know, and you know if you release, you can release that way, and you completely miss the target. So we've got to. That's what the coach does. Is he comes in? No, you let your arm come in. So when you draw this time, you have to draw a specific way. You need to do it this way. Coach comes in and begins to correct some things that are causing me to miss the target when I'm shooting. No, don't release that way. You need to release this way so that my arrows now I'm starting to hit the target. Now I'm starting to hit the bullseye. It's the same process for us in this idea of sin, is that when we sin, we're missing the target. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, is he comes in. He says, no, he's like our coach. No, I know you were doing that, but you need to do this instead so you can hit the target and not miss. See, that's what God really, how he's really viewing for us in this process of sin, is not that, like, when we hear that word sin, like, a lot of times we're like, feeling condemned, right? We feel guilty sometimes, and shame even comes in. But God doesn't view it that way. He views it as, hey, I want you to repent. Repent literally means to turn and go another direction, to change course, to change your aim. Aim at something else. I know you did this, but now you can't do that. You need to do this instead. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to coach us up, to bring some conviction so we can make some adjustments so we can start hitting the target. We need to starve some sin in our lives. That means that we're going to turn to what God wants. We're going to turn to what God wants. So when we detox our bodies, if you've ever done one, you know that if all you do is stop eating the sugars and all the bad stuff and you don't put the good stuff in, you're going to be in trouble. Right? Your body needs the good stuff too. So we're going to starve those things this week. Doubt, negativity, and sin. We need to replace those with some good things in our lives, right? We're making that space for what? So I want you to write these things down. This week, we're going to feed God's word into our lives. We're going to feed God's word in our lives. If we're going to think what God thinks, if we're going to trust what God says, right? If we're going to do that, that's only found one place. That's in the word. You can't get it anywhere else. If you want to know God's will is his word. People will spend their whole lives, God, what is your will for my life? It's in the book. It's in the book. It's an open book test. So we need to get in the word. We need to get more of the word in you. And if you don't believe me, that's okay. Just try it. Just give me 6 days where you will starve some doubt and where you feed God's word. For me, what that looks like is this, is for me, that one of the biggest voices of doubt in my life is the little news app on my phone. I don't watch it on the TV, but for whatever reason is just I've found myself becoming drawn to, and I'll just open and be like, oh, man, everyone hates each other. No one can get along. All kinds of stuff when you read the news, right? So for me, I'm going to starve this voice of doubt in my life this week. And I've got a little folder already on my phone that says starve this. And I've got that app in there. I'm going to starve that. And I've got the Bible app right below it, the YouVersion free Bible app. And whenever I feel that, I'm going to feed myself God's word. So what is it for you? What is that voice of doubt for you? So let's just write where we are. Go ahead, write it down, what that is. I'm going to starve this week. Put it into your phone. Make a commitment. And then I'm going to feed God's word in place of it. We're going to feed ourselves God's word. And when we do that, here's what we'll experience. Here's the promise from the word. It's from Psalms chapter 1. He says, blessed or happy is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners go or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. And he meditates on it day and night. The person who does that, listen to what he is. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. And it yields fruit in season. It means he's making a difference. His leaf does not wither. He never lacks. Whatever he does prospers. Woo! Come on, I want that in my life. There's nothing the world has that compares to that could entice me away from this. Like, we need to begin to meditate on God's word day and night. Feed ourselves that. When those voices of doubt come, man, get the Bible out. Get the YouVersion out. Whatever. Feed ourselves God's word. So go ahead, make that commitment this week. 6 days. All I'm asking for is 6 days. You're not going to die. You'll make it. It's okay. The world will continue to spin if you don't know what all the headlines are. And you will be a whole lot happier. It's just true. Here's the second one. We're going to feed ourselves worship. Worship. Now, there's a lot of ways to worship. And I'm specifically talking about, in this context, worship through music. Okay? Worship is not always music. There's lots of ways our lives are. We live to worship the Lord. There's a lot of ways we worship. We can worship through prayer. But I'm specifically talking about we're going to feed ourselves in the next 6 days worship in the form of music, okay? And I want to share some of my story in regards with this to you guys. And I know some of you might think I'm strange in this, and I probably am, and I'm cool with that. But it's just my story, so I'm not trying to force anything on anybody. I'm just telling you my story. So at a point in my life, I listened to all kinds of music, secular music, Christian music, all kinds of stuff. I was in a blues band, and I loved it. We played blues. We were out playing all the time, and it was good. But I also loved listening to this little band called Metallica. Strange mix, I know, but the guitars and his driving rock, and I loved it. And so I would find myself in my car, Metallica turned up really loud, and all of a sudden I'm driving so fast, just driving crazy. And Before long, I began seeing in my life like how it was beginning to influence me in other areas. Or I began watching things like it was like more questionable and contained content that was not Christ-like. And then beginning to listen to more and more music like that and more music that contained, you know, lifestyles that I said I didn't approve of, but I was constantly listening to and singing about, and other words, you know, profane words that I shouldn't have been saying or listening to. And I just saw like, this is not making me more Christ-like. And so, I continued on for that way a while. And then I remember the day when God spoke to me and he said, all right, it's time to choose. I was like, what are we talking about? And he's like, I have so much for you, but you're going to have to choose between listening to all this music or taking what I have for you. So in my life, I started that process like, I'm not going to listen to that. See, the reality is that I don't belong to this world. We don't belong to this world. We belong to God's heavenly kingdom, and we're just passing through here. So why would I then allow one of the primary influences the world has to teach its philosophies, to teach its way of living and how I should think and all those things to be a part of my everyday life? And so for me, it's like I had to make that distinction. And so, I mean, I can tell you like, I know some names like Justin Bieber because he's in the news and some like, but it's just not part of my life. I don't listen to those things. And so I'm just challenging us this week, like, what would it look like if instead of allowing the voices of the secular to speak into us, if in those moments we then allowed the voices of heaven to speak into us instead? Man, and I just tell you, I can tell you from experience that when you begin to worship, no matter where you are, no matter what difficult situation you're in, when you begin to sing a song to the Lord, man, the entire atmosphere around you begins to change. I've been in hospital rooms. I've been at gravesides. I've been on the top of mountains celebrating with people. And when you begin to sing a song through tears or through shouting or rejoicing, when you're upset or angry, it doesn't matter. When you begin to worship, everything changes. Everything changes. Man, 6 days. I know it'll be difficult. It's difficult. Those first few days, you're going to be, yeah, every song you've ever heard in your life, the lyrics will come back at you all the time. I promise you. But you can make it. Then about that third, fourth, fifth day, you're going to be, it's just going to well up outside from inside of you, this song of worship. You're going to be walking down the hall singing Nothing Is Impossible and realizing that when God's on your side, you can do anything. And what is the devil like? What do you got? Bring it on, baby, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. What are you? Man, everything begins to change when you begin to worship. Is this too deep for you guys?
No.
Come on. The Lord is not called us to be surface people. It's called us to go deep. We need to go deep. So I don't know what it is for you. Maybe yours isn't music. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's Netflix, Hulu. I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, movies or whatever that is. What are those voices that are feeding that negativity? We're going to starve those. So write it down. Go ahead and make that commitment. Write it down. I'm going to starve this thing, and I'm going to feed worship in my life. Here's the last one. I'm going to feed prayer in our lives. We're going to feed prayer in our lives. Over the next 6 days, just go ahead and mark out some time on your calendar. Just pencil it in. If you've got the app, calendar app, schedule it out for these 5 minutes, for these 10 minutes. This is God time, 6 to 6:10, prayer. I know, not p.m., a.m., right? What would it look like if you just begin to prioritize, make space for prayer in your life? We're going to begin to starve some sin in our life. We're going to replace that with prayer in our lives. And what's amazing is that God always hears us when we pray, but in the scripture, he dares us a little bit to pray, like try it out. See what will happen. We can read about it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He says this. It says, if my people, like maybe they will, maybe not, but if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and they seek my face, and they turn from their wicked ways, they repent from those things, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Man, I need that so much in my life. It's not because I'm a pastor that I need to pray. It's because I need God so much in my life just to make it. Like, without that, I'm dead in the water. Like, we've got to get to that point where we're dependent upon that time with him so that we know he hears us, so that he can begin to move in our lives, to forgive us of those things, to remove those blockages in our lives so that we can, he can bring healing to us, you guys, so that we can take that to others, right? Because if I'm just infected and I go to pray for somebody else, what am I going to do for them? We've got to have healing in our own self. So for the next 6 days, can we feed ourselves the word? Can we feed ourselves worship? Can we feed ourselves prayer and see what God will do? I'm going to invite the band to come up at this moment. I believe that God is moving in this place. So what is it that he's speaking to your heart? What is it for you that has been polluting your spirit, that's been a toxin in your spirit? And today God is saying, hey, I want to make some space in our hearts for some things. I want to do something. You, I've got so much I want to put in you. I've got more than I can, than you can imagine, more than you can dream up, more than you can even hope for, that I want to flood into your life, but you've got to make space for it. So what is it? What is it that he's speaking to your heart? You don't need me to tell you what it is. You have the Holy Spirit. So Lord, let's just do that right in this moment. Just all across this room, just ask him, Lord, what is it? My spirit that's become polluted, that's become toxic.